Etat kamsaya bhagavan. Chasam sabayet narada. Bhumir baraya mananam. Daityanam chavarodyamam. Does anybody have a book? Can chant? No? Oh, there he is. Arvind is going to save us here. 64. I'll chant it again while he's getting ready. Canto 10, chapter 1, 64. Is it working? Too many lights on? Too many lights on? So okay, let's try this again. Etat kamsaya bhagavan. Chasam sabayet narada. Bhumir baraya mananam. Daityanam chavarodyamam. Etat kamsaya bhagavan. Chasam sabayet narada. Bhumir baraya mananam. Daityanam chavadodyamam. Please chant. Etat kamsaya bhagavan. Chasam sabayet narada. Bhumir baraya mananam. Jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya-jaya All these words about the Yadu family and the Vrishni family. Kamsaya, unto Kamsa. Bhagavan, the most powerful representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shashamsa, informed. Kamsa, who was in doubt. Abhyetya, after approaching him. Narada, the great sage Narada. Bhume, on the surface of the earth. Barayamananam, of those who were a burden. Daityanam cha, End of the demons.
Vada Udyamam.
The endeavor to kill. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Once the great sage Narada approached Kamsa and informed him of how the demoniac persons, who were a great burden on the earth, were going to be killed. Thus Kamsa was placed into great fear and doubt. Please repeat. Once the great Saint Narada approached Kamsa and informed him of how the demoniac persons, who are a great burden on the earth, were going to be killed. Thus Kamsa was placed into great fear and doubt. Purport. It has already been discussed that Mother Earth implored Lord Brahma to give her relief from the distress created by the burdensome demons, and that Lord Brahma informed her that Lord Krishna himself was going to appear. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 8, Parityanaya saduna vinishchaya chaduskitam dharma samstarpanataya sambhavami yuge yuge. Whenever there is a burden created by the demons, and whenever innocent devotees are distressed by demoniac rulers, the Lord appears in the due course of time to kill the demons with the assistance of His real representatives, who are technically called demigods. In the Upanishads, it is stated that the demigods are different parts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As it is the duty of the parts of the body to serve the whole, it is the duty of Krishna's devotees to serve Krishna as he wants. Krishna's business is to kill the demons, and therefore this should be a devotee's business also. Because the people of Kali Yuga are fallen, however, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of kindness for them, did not bring any weapon to kill them. Rather, by spreading Krishna consciousness, love of Krishna, he wanted to kill their nefarious demoniac activities. This is the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement. Unless the demoniac activities on the surface of the world are diminished or vanquished, no one can be happy. The program for the conditioned soul is fully described in the Bhagavad Gita, and one simply has to follow these instructions to become happy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore prescribed Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Hari Nama Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatir Anyata. Let the people chant Hare Krishna mantra constantly. Then their demoniac tendencies will be killed, and they will become first class devotees, happy in this life and in the next. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Unmilitam Yena Tasmaye Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manubhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakara Mayam Darati Swapadantikam Vandeyam Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamala Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsta Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Virjana Setam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vikamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye. Vanchakopa Tuvyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnaveva Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktavinda
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So here, Narada is acting very aggressively to bring forward the Lord. We can see that he actually is trying to increase the anxiety of the demons. And therefore, he is informing Kamsa that the Lord is going to kill him and all his demoniac friends. So this naturally puts distress and disturbance in the minds of the demons. But Srila Prabhupada, in addition to informing us and reminding us that Krishna has appeared for this purpose, to kill the demons and protect the devotees, he's also reminded us that in this age of Kali, the Yuga Avatar is who? Who knows? Lord Chaitanya. Correct. And what does he do? Does he kill the demons? No, he doesn't even bring a weapon. His mood is different. In Kali Yuga, what do we have? An ocean of faults. So many lazy people, disinclined towards spiritual life, making not much effort, if any, toward their own personal benefit. What to speak of that of others? They have so many misfortunes. This year, what do they have? They have so many misfortunes in the U.S., they're running out of emergency aid, I think. I heard something like that. Tornadoes, floods, hurricanes, earthquakes, one right after another. So many misfortunes. And people are so inclined towards sinful activities. So what does he do? He converts them by chanting Hare Krishna, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, to give up their demoniac ways and to become, as he says, happy in this life and the next. So many of us here have come to the Krishna consciousness movement in this lifetime. So I would ask you to take a moment now and reflect that time where you first became attracted and interested in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and the Hare Krishna movement. Perhaps your life, as mine, was full of so many unwanted sinful activities. And recall how someone approached you, something happened, and your life changed. Anybody want to share what may have happened to them? Anybody, briefly? Yes, Trivikram. So, well, just speak out loudly, I guess.
I was playing cricket. Cricket was very popular here in Guyana.
Playing cricket, okay.
So we were busy and we were winning, so we were very excited.
Your brother died. Was he playing the game too?
No,
somewhere else he died during the cricket match.
In Bhagavad Gita, I was introduced to the Bhagavad Gita as it is, and I was, I actually start taking to the process immediately. Yeah.
So someone preached to you and gave you a Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah, my in-law brother, he gave me the Bhagavad Gita during the wake times.
Oh, okay. Yeah. While you were at the funeral. Any one other person would like to share something here? Yes, Prabhu.
I became pretty exhausted of city life. I grew up in Toronto, and when I finished high school, I went out to an island where you can only get to by sea kayaking, and I decided I would walk in my bare feet for a year and forage mostly. So I built a teepee out of big old growth wood because it was on the west coast, and I lived in that for a while. And it was a very sattvic environment, but I still felt I wasn't satisfied. I would pray to the trees, pray to the deer that would come sit by me while I was doing my meditations, and it wasn't satisfying. So that inclination, I began studying herbal medicine, and there was actually a devotee in the class who started teaching me to chant and to read. So that progression of, I guess I was inclined to a sattvic environment, but I could see that the next, it didn't satisfy me. So the sattvic environment with Krishna consciousness is the package.
But somebody preached to you in your herbology class.
Yeah, she was a practicing devotee. She actually started giving me a lot of prasadam. Mm. And we were living on an organic farm. And she kept feeding me prasadam and then eventually said, why don't you come sit down and meditate with me? So started chanting. The second day we chanted, somehow I got through 16 rounds.
Wow.
And amazing. I vowed that I would never not do 16 rounds, which I broke my vow after 15 years, but I kept it up for, I don't know, maybe 8 or 10 years.
Very good. Good, thank you. So, here, we can go back to the purport a little. And we can see here in these examples that many of us have that experience, that someone, we had some situation in our life where, whether it was distress or we were inquisitive or we were seeking knowledge, enlightenment, but somehow we contacted a devotee, and that devotee helped us. He preached to us, or she preached to us, and gave us something, some way gave us Krishna consciousness that brought us forward to this movement. So, there is something to be obviously learned that we are finding here, that devotees actually have a duty, as Prabhupada has explained. But before we touch on that, let us understand Krishna's mood, especially Lord Chaitanya. In the Anjalila, is stated, the special function of Srila Rupa Goswami is to establish the feelings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. These feelings are the desires that his special mercy may be spread throughout the world in this Kali Yuga. Priti viti ache yata nagaradi gram sarvatra prachara haive mora nam. His desire is that all over the world, everyone, in every village and every town, know of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his Sankirtan movement. These are the inner feelings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Rupa Goswami committed to writing all these feelings of the Lord. And now again, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the same feelings are being spread all over the world by the servants of the Goswamis. Those who are on the level of hogs and dogs will never appreciate such a great attempt. Yet this does not matter to the preachers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's cult, for all over the world they will continue to perform this responsible work, even though persons who are like cats and dogs do not appreciate them. So also, there's more to go deeper on this subject. The Lord, from Srimad Bhagavatam, is explaining that the Lord's plan is to end the living entity's suffering. Because he, the Lord, wants to maintain the creation, he desires the mass of people to follow the right path of self-realization, which enables the living beings to enter into the kingdom of God. The Lord wants the suffering human beings to come back home, back to him, and to cease suffering the threefold material pangs. So spreading the Krishna conscious movement is Lord Chaitanya's mission, and therefore sincere devotees must carry out this desire of the Lord. The devotees of Lord Chaitanya must preach Krishna consciousness in every village and town in the world. It is the duty, again, it is the duty of every disciple to carry out the order of the bona fide spiritual master and spread Lord Chaitanya's message all over the world. And the famous quote, "Instruct everyone to follow the orders of Lord Sri Krishna as they are given in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, become a spiritual master and try to liberate everyone in the land." Now, these are very strong orders. And perhaps some of you, like myself, may feel a little ill-equipped to go and liberate everyone in every town and village. So, what do we do? Sometimes we tend to say, I'll take this work up later. Later on in my life when I feel stronger, more equipped to do this. And it seems to have some justification that yes, we should prepare ourselves. And the Lord speaks, like in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it said, it is the work of Krishna's confidential devotees to turn everyone into a Krishna bhakta. If the confidential devotees do not take up this task of elevating everyone to Krishna consciousness, then who will do it? Those who claim to be devotees but do not engage in Krishna's service to elevate all living creatures to Krishna consciousness are considered to be Kanishta Adhikaris in the lowest stage of devotional service. So that again seems to indicate that some kind of perfectional stage, confidential stage, perhaps not where we're at. But it doesn't remain here. Lord Srila Prabhupada expands that instruction further. He says here that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 9th chapter, text 41, purport, he says, the devotee is not interested in so-called meditation in the Himalayas or the forest. Rather, his interest is in the busiest part of the world, where he teaches people Krishna consciousness. The Krishna consciousness movement was started for this purpose. The members of the Krishna consciousness movement are not at all interested in so-called meditation in the Himalayas or the forest. Nor are they interested in opening many schools of yoga and meditation in the cities. Rather, each member of the Krishna consciousness movement, each member, is interested in going door to door to try to convince people about the teachings of Bhagavad Gita as it is, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. That is the purpose of the Hare Krishna movement. The members of the Krishna consciousness movement must be fully convinced that without Krishna, one cannot be happy. So Srila Prabhupada is encouraging us to be fully convinced, fully convicted, that actually the world is suffering and they're unhappy because they don't have Krishna. They're not practicing Krishna consciousness. They can't chant Hare Krishna. But still we may be remaining a little unconvinced that it is for us. So further, Srila Prabhupada gives further statements. He talks about Vasudev Vipra, the leper. He suffered greatly because of his disease of leprosy, and still, Lord Chaitanya cured him. The only return the Lord wanted was that Vasudev preach the instructions of Krishna and liberate all human beings. That is the process of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Then Prabhupada asks us again, each and every member of the society was rescued from a very abominable condition, and now they are engaged in preaching the cult of Krishna consciousness. If one wants to be recognized as a devotee by Krishna, he should take to the preaching work, following the advice of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then one will undoubtedly attain the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Krishna himself, without delay. So there is another verse which translates, if a living entity is developed in Krishna consciousness and is merciful to others, if his spiritual knowledge of self-realization is perfect, he will immediately attain liberation from the bondage of material existence. So in this word, in this verse, the word daya jiveshu, meaning the mercy to other living entities, indicates that the living entity must be merciful to other living entities if he wishes to progress in self-realization. Let me read that again. The living entity must be merciful to other living entities if he wishes to make progress in self-realization. This means he must preach this knowledge after perfecting himself and understanding his own position as eternal servant of Krishna. Preaching this is showing real mercy to living entities. Other types of humanitarian work may be temporarily beneficial to the body, but because a living entity is a spirit soul, ultimately one can show him real mercy only by revealing knowledge of his spiritual existence. Lord Chaitanya says that every living entity is constitutionally a servant of Krishna. One should know this fact perfectly and preach it to the mass of people. If one realizes he is an eternal servant of Krishna but does not preach it, his realization is imperfect. So many strong statements about preaching. But let's simplify this a little bit. I ask you all now to think for a few minutes and consider how we can preach, what methods we can use for preaching, what you may like or what you may see and know. Anybody want to recommend some or speak some, please let me know. Raise your hand. Yes, Lila Sukha. Personal example, very powerful. Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Yes, Prabhu. Behind you. Yeah.
A friend of mine in Atlanta, who's a Bhakti Tirtha Swami disciple, told me that his guru told him that it is our responsibility as devotees, in whatever situation we are, to always try to somehow raise the consciousness. So, you know, we can always try to feel out, depending on the person we're with, how far we can go. You know, maybe trying to give them a book for certain people might be too much. But we can, I think, always at least raise the consciousness, even if it's talking about ecology or something that is bringing towards spirituality.
Very good. We can raise the consciousness of the people around us. We can give them books. Yes, Mathura.
Through culture.
Culture.
I think Prabhupada, I'm forgetting the exact quote, but he said, we will take the world through a cultural revolution. Is it?
Okay, very good. Cultural revolution. Anyone else? Yes, Mataji.
Street Sankirtan.
Street Sankirtan. Could you explain a little further?
I was in New York the last 2 months, and there was a devotee came from South Africa. And we were going out in Harinam, just, you know, maybe a few blocks around the temple. And so one day I was late. The party left and I wasn't with them, so I was running to catch up. And as I was walking, people were saying things like, wow, they're back. And I stopped. I thought, well, I'm not going to run. I'm going to hear these comments. And the guy said, you know, one guy said, they're back. I walked further down. We have life again. There, you know, so many nice comments. So finally I caught up the party, and two old guys, you know, I guess they're drunks, and they were sitting. So one of them ran up to me, and he said, what are you guys doing? And before I could answer, his other friend said, they are chanting God's name. They're blessing us. And I was so stunned. I couldn't explain it better, you know. And his friend was laughing. He said, they used to come out here many, many years ago, so many of them in Manhattan. I said, oh, you used to be there. He go, oh, yes. He said, what happened to you guys? And so, you know, these are people, we think that we don't affect people, but we affect so many people. Sometimes it was just three of us, sometimes it was five of us. But the days that we didn't go out, really people saw us the next day. What happened yesterday? Mm. You know, and this is just within, you know, the last couple of months. So this Harinam is so important. It is so important. We cannot imagine. And even at days like I'll go out to the stores later on, the cops will come up and said, are you guys going to be doing this now regularly?
Is that negative or positive?
Very positive. Very okay. Positive. In fact, when we were going out, the cops didn't have to be to work till 8:30, but they all will come 8 o'clock, line up, and they'll stand there with their thing and they'll... You know? And one of them, the woman, she, one day, you know, I was dancing, an old lady, I'm trying to dance, and she came and she held my hand and we were spinning around dancing, and all the cops became so enlivened. And then, you know, they have a restaurant there too. So I was saying, you know, we have a restaurant, you all should come. And they said, you do? So next day they all came in.
Wow.
Little yes. Preaching, very little preaching. It's so incredible.
Excellent. Thank you.
So this Harinam, where every day we go one place. Well, we were going on a different path, you know, the same streets, but we will take a little detour every day. And amazing, people will come out from the stores, even some of the Indian people will run down and touch your feet and all this stuff right in the street, you know. And I was thinking, why are we not doing this? You know, I mean, of course, I'm telling myself I should be going on the Harinam here every Friday. But it is very powerful preaching, this Sankirtan. Prabhupada first, when he went to Thompson Square Park, and that's how he started the movement.
So you're completely agreeing with what Prabhupada has said here, that by this preaching work, we actually get ourselves realization. We see how the conditioned souls so much need it, and at the same time, we see that it's what makes them happy.
Yes, and you know, even... There was one line, I guess they're unemployment people, I don't know what they're doing. So they were all lined up. I guess the place must open at 8 o'clock, we'll start at 7:30 and come back at 9. And so when we started out, there'll be a few people there, and then the word spread that we were coming out there. By the time we finish in 2 months, the line would be a whole block. They're all waiting to see us. You know, they're just lined up there. Just they feel peaceful. They don't know why, you know, but you could see they all stood there like, and when we come around, they're all smiling and happy. So for those few moments that we relieve them from their material distress is very important to them. You know, it's incredible.
Excellent.
I mean, I can't remember all the experiences that I had this last 2 months, and I'm thinking, why am I not doing this more often? You know, it doesn't take much to go out with a pair of cartels down the street, any place, and have, you know, spread the holy name.
So we don't have to go to New York to do this.
go to New York if you want, go any place you want, spread the holy name, go down the streets, Sankirtan, as I'm saying. So powerful. Everybody appreciates, children appreciate. Oh, there was one man in a wheelchair. We went on Union Square on Balaram's appearance day. Millions of people, I mean, you can hardly walk. But as soon as we were going, everybody's clearing the path. You know, one girl said, I can't believe it. In Europe, we see the Hare Krishna. And the girl said, you don't expect to come to New York and see the Hare Krishna? That's where it started. People were doing so much preaching just from seeing us, you know. And this one grandmother was telling her kids, oh, these are the Hare Krishnas. They used to come out here many, many years ago when I was, you know, younger. So they just have to see us, and then the word spread like wildfire. So that was when we went in Union Square, so many people, and they all cleared the path as we were coming. And we went for about, I don't know, maybe 10 blocks one way and 10, so 20 blocks. And for 2 hours, we did it all around. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I didn't want to quit. You know, it was nobody wanted to go back for the festival at Temple. There was so much nectar just chanting in the street.
Very good. Thank you for sharing that. That, I think, was very excellent. Krishna Gopal, you wanted to speak something?
Similar situation. Falls with the purport about instead of killing the demons in Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya came and told him to chant Hare Krishna. One time, this is early, or mid-70s, I guess, early 70s, when there was a lot of unrest in the country, and this was in Washington, D.C., and we heard that there was a big protest happening on the lawn in front of the Lincoln Memorial. So there were literally thousands of young people. They were coming up, and the devotees were saying, let's go do Harinam. So the police were all lined up in front of the Lincoln Memorial. There were literally about 100 police. And then there were all of these youth, they were coming up by the reflecting pool, and they were moving closer and closer, and we just got there. So we had a Harinam party, probably about 30 of us, and I think Indra was actually leading the kirtan, Indra Prabhu. And so we went, literally, they were just coming up the stairs, and if you've ever been in a fight, you know that the mode of passion and ignorance is so strong. And this was so heavy, you could cut it with a knife. It was just the tension. You knew that there was going to be, you know, bloodshed. It was so thick. But we just started the kirtan and went right literally in between the police and the protesters. And we stayed there and didn't move. And we just kept chanting and chanting. And probably in about, you could see that the atmosphere melted. It literally melted. And at the end, the police were raising their hands, chanting, and the kids were dancing, and it literally changed the entire atmosphere. And you know, even the devotees were looking at each other going, wow, this is some pretty powerful stuff. We were in ecstasy seeing what was happening and getting a realization ourselves of the power of the holy name. But it was, you know, just one of these events that had we not been there, it would have definitely been a disastrous event, but the holy name changed everything. So it was wonderful.
Excellent. I'd like to pose another question, bring it home a little better. What can we, anyone want to share ideas, what we can do right here in Alachua from our temple? Well, there's Mahamaya, she's ready.
Well, I'm sure there's so many ideas that we could, you know, have festivals and so many things, but I was thinking in terms of whoever we meet, we could be willing to share Krishna consciousness with them. Like, there are invitations. I don't know why there's not always a supply of those, like, bookmark-type invitations for the Maha Mantra that invite people to this particular temple. Yeah. And if we carry some with us, and if we're willing, I mean, I see it in myself, that I'm not always willing to share Krishna consciousness. But if we are, we meet so many people every day in our everyday lives. And it's just a simple way that we could be spreading Krishna consciousness, inviting people to the temple, giving them the holy name.
And I myself noticed that Even if you don't dress in devotional clothes, people identify you very quickly. You're a devotee. You can't hide. Pretend you're not a devotee. So, oh, yeah, you're a devotee. You're one of them Krishnas, aren't you? They know you. Just, you're different. You're not like ordinary people. I mean, we're not. None of us. Anyone else would like to give some idea about here in Alachua? Ma Ananda.
Temples. So everyone in the temples there, they all, what they were doing every day was pretty much what Prabhupada wanted us to do. We were all very much interested in what Prabhupada, how he'd want us to act. And the way we did it, the every single day except the weekends, every weekday, we would, the temple president would make everyone right after breakfast, a little short class, and then we'd all pile in the van, and we went downtown Detroit. And for two hours at least, we marched up and down, just chanting, marched up and down. A few people handed out a magazine. You only got a quarter for the magazines then. But then we came back for lunch, and we had a quick lunch, and we left again. We piled in the van. We went out on the street again. And for maybe 3 hours or maybe 4 hours, we just walked up and down the streets, just chanting as loud as we could, trying to project our voice out into the, over to the next block or up and into the windows where, or into the trees where the birds were, just trying to inject that holy name because we knew what it was doing for us. And as far as I'm concerned, I think that we probably, the truth is that we need to somehow or another, we need to get back to where we're going out on Sankirtan.
So the Harinam.
Harinam. Harinam is our life and soul. I don't want to be a hypocrite because it would be hard for me to go out too. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm sort of complacent.
So even if it's not every day, we should do maybe once
a week.
But
I mean, if we worked it up to once every day, I mean, you know, we used to go out and we'd get way, way away from the temple and we'd be preaching at a college and we would have hundreds of people around us and we'd just be preaching about Krishna. And you would just realize after a point, oh my God, this is my life and soul. And you didn't even want to go back to the temple. I mean, you were so satisfied. You were able to touch that purity, that bliss of what it's like to be out on Sankirtan, you know, where, and after a while, you didn't, and when you had to leave to go back to the temple, you almost dreaded it, because you knew when you got back to the temple, you'd be in the bodily consciousness of what devotee said this to you, and, you know, all this, and it was more bliss out there, you know, just in the, so, you know.
Very good. So you're sharing that. Harinam Mathura, you wanted to share something here?
I really agree. The Harinam plus book distribution.
Book distribution. Okay, that's good.
And the books describe simple living.
Okay.
So when we preach to people, I feel we need an example of simple living when we bring them back. What are we preaching if we don't have a mere example to show them? So I feel the temple needs to be expanded into a village. Mm. And people see there's a shelter. There's a shelter from them, from the dominant culture. Because if they think, okay, well, I can just come to the temple and see the deities or come sometimes. Mm. There's not really something set up for them. In previously, devotees would invite people, just come live in the temple. Come, live in the temple. But that doesn't happen anymore. So time, place, and circumstances have changed, and we need to set up villages where people see, oh, there's cultural events, there's people, they have their own economy. I can actually fit in somewhere and live this simple living that they're talking about.
Okay, good. And last...
I'm too tired, I don't have the energy, and... You know, I'll go tomorrow. And they said, oh, Mataji, just for an hour, let's go. I said, okay, I'll go half an hour and I'll come back. I was thinking to myself, oh my God, when I went out the first day, I was exhausted when I came back from not using some muscles. But the next day, I was the first one out waiting for everybody to go. So it's true that you don't realize, you're thinking, you know, it's hard, you know, let the young people do it and let somebody else do it.
So this wasn't like 30 years ago, you're talking recently?
I just got back 2 days ago. Summer I go to New York. Yeah, that's why they were saying, where were we for the last 20 years? Or, you know, because I guess lots of devotees come through New York and they all have special service they want to do. And so this one devotee, he's a Harinam person, so he wanted to go on Harinam. He'll come back every year. He wanted to go to all the temples and start this program again. But I quite agree. If we want to do something, we just got to say, okay, I'm going to do it. Mm. Because if you just wait and say, you know, let somebody else do it, I'll come in, it doesn't happen. I was forced. I was full, like Prabhupada, I guess, did in the early days, you know, go out and start to print a magazine, do that. So the same energy is there, the same ability in the guru's words and everything is there. And sometimes we get too comfortable in our situation. You know, so if we just start, if we want to see a change, it's a change yourself.
And we're all experienced, right? Many of us are experienced. We don't need some very senior person to kind of lead us out. Anything. One thing I noticed is, like, usually around here what we do with Harinam, we make a plan to go all the way to Gainsborough, all the way to Jacksonville and do the Harinam. And the people around here hear us only like once a year or something, unless they're driving by. But it's so easy just to go in the downtown.
Just on Main Street, if you do it.
Or in apartments, yes, down in apartments, place, anywhere.
Place. It's so powerful. This Harinam is so powerful. I mean, of course, I was able to see it dramatically in New York because there are millions of people there. But even if you go on the street, like on Sunday, nobody comes out. Everybody's the day off. Mm. And so we still went, you know, we went and we didn't see anybody. But then we look up and all the windows, the people were, you know, running at the window to see us. And I thought, you know, it is so powerful, this Harinam. People could hear, there's something about it that brings some relief from their anxiety. So they don't know it, but they run and they see it and they stand there until they can't see us anymore. We walk around the street, you know. So it is so powerful. I mean, my faith in Harinam really increase this summer again.
So we could go with our friends.
Go with our friends.
Our family.
With go with your, you know, you and your wife alone, me and my family alone. Just Harinam, one Mridanga, one cartel.
And there's so many devotees. I know, like, one time we went down to the Alatra apartments, and it was just a handful of devotees, and there were so many devotees there that suddenly had a big party of 30, 40 people.
And people joined us. Many people, you know, they live outside, like this one devotee. He works outside, he saw us, you know, he's limping. He went in the whole Harinam, and then every day he tried to join as much as he can, then he go into his office and work, you know. So many things, so many other people. And this devotee was saying they had this, where they saved this, the people were, this where they had this Harinam. We had the same thing, there was a big demonstration. And so we were chanting and we were dancing and they saw us and they were all waving at us. So this devotee, like I said, he's a little dramatic. And we went over there. We couldn't leave for an hour. They were all dancing and the cops were all standing there. And they were so happy because they had to watch them every minute. So they danced with us. Oh, it was so incredible. And when we left, the cop was saying, don't leave, please, please don't leave, you know, because they all were calm. They put all their picket signs aside and they were all dancing. And everybody had their camera, the thing. We were all over, you know, everybody took our pictures. All the underground newspaper were all over. Of course, we didn't want to be associated with the demonstration, but everybody was dancing. They were showing everybody was happy.
Excellent.
So the people forget what they're there about, you know, and they all get into their chanting. Anyhow, I mean, I'm trying myself to just even go around here, you know, start chanting in the street.
Very good. Very good. I'm sure if you even let others know, people want to join you.
Yeah,
I know you're something. Overly anxious. We have to. What's that? Well, we're really short?
Yeah. I just want to say about the Harinams at the Gator football games.
Yes.
Are no question about it, like the most fun Harinam I've ever experienced. And it is in Gainesville. We do have to drive there. But those of us who know, this is like an open secret. Those of us who know how ecstatic it is, we do not miss them.
Yeah, that's a fact. The Gator football games, Harinam, I think we're almost as important as the football game out there.
Somebody said to me, it wouldn't be a game if you guys weren't here. The Hare Krishnas are always at every football game.
I remember maybe 10, 15 years ago, I was working with somebody in Alachua at an office there, and he asked me, he's like, why are you guys always at these football games? What are you doing? And I said, well, we're chanting names of gods and blessing people. Really? Why are you doing that? So I know he couldn't quite understand. I said, well, the Gators are winning, aren't they? I said, yeah. I said, so? And that was enough for him. He understood something. So we can all understand that this is actually a very joyful process, participate in the preaching work by chanting. Another time we can discuss prasadam distribution and other ways, book distribution. But we should understand that great for us, beneficial for us, beneficial for the people we are preaching to, and it pleases Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna very deeply. So thank you very much for joining me today, and Chan Hare Krishna. Okay.